that have already acknowledged your wounds, your hurts. And you've dealt with them in a very positive way. You've received the healing. You're walking on in life. You're becoming successful at the person that God has called you to be because you have allowed God to tear away the layers and expose the hurt in your lives. And you've confessed it and you've dealt with it and you're going on. And then there are those of you who are simply not really acknowledging them. You're coping with them. You've covered them up. And you're trying to get on with life the best as you can. But you're still hindered. And then there are those of you today that are barely able to function. Because you have become injured, very, very injured as a result. And today I want to ask you, is there hope for you? Is there hope for you? Can your wounds be healed? I believe the answer is yes. I believe that with all my heart, that the answer is yes. That there is hope. And that we need to recognize that hope. We need to understand that Jesus came to bind up the wounds. He came to give us abundant life and to destroy the works of the enemy within our lives. And as I began to ponder this subject, I began to think about all the indicators in our society that point to us that this is something of epidemic proportion in our society today. We all read recently of the suicide of Kurt Cobain. Some of you don't even know who he is. I didn't know who he was until I read about it in the papers. I don't particularly listen to that kind of music. But he was a rock star. He was from the rock band Nirvana, which is very, very popular today. But he committed suicide. I believe that expresses the hopelessness that is found in many of our youth today. Here was a person that had it all. And the testimony of his life was this. In fact, they say his recent album, they almost named it. What was it here? He says, "I hate myself and I want to die." Can you imagine that? The name of an album. I hate myself and I want to die. But as I understand, his lyrics carried that theme throughout all of his music. The torment that was going on in his life. Why was that torment there? Because there were wounds in his life that were never dealt with. There were pain, turmoil. That was never dealt with. We look at our society today and we see that there are so many different addictions that people are dealing with. So many different addictions that people are dealing with. We see the popularity of having your own therapist now. It's actually in. Did you know that? To have a therapist. It's the in thing. Well, I've got my therapist. You know what else is very in right now? Support groups. You know why these things are so popular? It's because there are wounded people that have needs. Wounded people. That have needs. And I believe it's time for us as a church to address these issues and to realize that God has called us to be a help, to be a support. You know, the church should be the greatest support group that there is. It really should be. But see, just seeing the popularity of all of these groups now shows me that this is a very strong indicator that we have major problems that need to be dealt with and addressed. Turn on your TV some afternoon and watch all of the different talk shows. Oprah, Donahue, all of the others. There's so many of them anymore that you can't keep track of them all. But look at the topics that they're dealing with. They get parents with their children on the show, and you know, they discuss these things, and you know, they talk about everything that you can think of. Very, very popular. People are eating it up. But I was tuned in the other day. I like to just, you know, I see the commercials for them. Every once in a while, I take a late lunch or whatever, and I'll turn it on and just see what they're talking about. And the other day, I forget what it was they were talking about, but the thing that came to me, there was just no hope being offered. It was like, you've just got to accept the fact that this is all there is. You're stuck with this problem, and you've got to live with it. I don't believe that that's true. I don't believe that that's true at all. I believe that God wants us to walk in victory, that we are called to be overcomers in life. Look at the drug problems in our society today. The gangs, the popularity of gangs, the crime, all of this. Why is it? It's just hurting people, hurting people. Did you know that hurt people hurt others? It's true. And I believe that this is the reason why all of this is so far-reaching today, is that hurt people hurt others. It's a cycle that just goes on and on and on. Hurt people hurt others. It's an unbroken chain reaction, and I believe God is calling us to break the chain. Amen? To break that chain of influence in my life. I believe that if our society, if there's any hope in our society for all of its ills to be broken and cured, then it must begin with God's people breaking the chains in their own lives. That stops this endless cycle of hurting and wounding one another. I believe in order to do this, we must first identify that wound in our own lives. This morning I want to ask you a question. I want you all to just close your eyes for a moment. When we talk about this cycle of wounding one another and hurting one another, I want you to think about your own parents. And when you think about that, I want everybody's eyes closed. But when you think about your own parents, how many get a negative response? There's some of you out there that got a very negative response. How many of you get a positive response? That's good. A lot of you that got positive responses. But when we talk about wounds, we need to understand their causes. And I believe one of the first causes, these aren't in any particular order, but I believe that many wounds are simply inflicted by parents who didn't know any better. They didn't know any better. And there are some of you as parents here today that may be inflicting wounds upon your own children because you haven't learned. But I want to share with you a story today as I was preparing for this message. I came in contact with this story and I said, man, that really expresses what I want to say here. The story of a little boy. I think he was about I don't know, somewhere between 10 and 12 years old. It's a story about this little boy and his father. This little boy loved his father very, very much. He idolized his father. He wanted to be like his father. But see, the father was always too busy. Too busy to take an active interest in his son. He was either spending time in front of the television or out playing golf with his buddies, but never seemed to have enough time to spend with his own son who really loved him. And so one day the father says, "Okay, son, this is what we're going to do. We're going to spend some quality time together. You and I are going to go on a fishing trip together. We're going to go fishing. We're going to go camping. And it'll be a time where we'll just be together and have a good time." And so the son gets really excited. And he's got about a two-week period there where his anticipation is just growing and he's really getting excited about this event that he's going to go on with his father. They're going to go on this fishing trip. And so he goes into the garage or wherever it is where his dad's got the fishing rod stored and the tackle box, and he begins to get the fishing rods out and the reel, and he shines them all up and makes sure that they're really functioning well. And he goes through all the different lures and begins to clean them and make sure everything is just right. He's getting everything in order. He's doing this because he's excited. He's got anticipation just really welling up within his heart. And he cannot, you know, he just can't wait for that day where him and dad are going to go on a fishing trip together. And as the day approaches, he gets the sleeping bags out. He gets the tent out. And he begins to make sure that everything is in order. Gets all the other gear out. And Friday night rolls around, and there's Dad sitting there in front of the television. And he's trying to just, you know, communicate with his father and just share with his dad how happy and excited and how much he's looking forward with this. But his dad is just kind of trying to ignore him. Stays focused on the television. He's trying to share his enthusiasm, but Dad is just not being responsive. And so the next morning, the day finally arrives. Little boy gets up, and he's all raring to go. He's excited. The day is finally here. And he goes in, and once again, he finds his father sitting in front of the television. His father says, "Son, come here. I got to tell you something. I've got some bad news. I hurt my back. And we're not going to be able to go on the fishing trip." He says, "But why don't you go over to your friend's house, lives a few blocks away, spend a day with him." And so the little boy is very disappointed. He's heartbroken. But he understands because he loves his dad. And so he goes over to his friend's house and he's there for about a half an hour or so. His friend's parents get a phone call. And so I forget what the phone call was all about, but anyway, they had to leave and go somewhere, so the little boy had to go home. And as he was walking home, as he was walking around the corner, he saw his dad come out of the house and put his golf clubs in the trunk of his car and drive away. The little boy said later, he said, "That hurt me worse than anything that I've ever known. There was a wound that stayed with him throughout life." See, many of us today can probably remember back to similar incidences like that, where we experienced some great disappointment and it inflicted a wound upon us and it severed a wonderful relationship as a result. And today we bear the scars as a result of situations like that. Maybe it was physical abuse. You were beaten. Or maybe it was verbal abuse. Constantly being yelled at. Saying words to the effect, "You'll never amount to anything. You can't do anything right." Another story comes to mind about another child who decided he was going to mow the lawn and just do something really great that would please his father. And so he gets out there and he mows the lawn and makes sure that it looks good and everything. And he's got it all done and he's in the house looking out the window with great joy and anticipation for when Dad's going to come home and see what he did. This is the first time he's ever done anything like that. And finally Dad comes home and he sees that the lawn was mowed. He goes out and he looks at it very carefully. He goes into the garage and he examines the lawnmower and he tips it over and he finds a little dent in the blade. And he calls his son out to him. "What happened?" He begins to rail on him. He says, "You see what you did here? You ruined this thing. You put a dent in here, and now it's going to cost me such and such amount of money to get this fixed, and I'm going to take it out of your allowance. You can't do anything right." How many of us were wounded because of that kind of abuse? Or maybe it was just mental abuse. And then there's sexual abuse, which we're hearing a lot about today. That's another topic that's real hot right now. Sexual abuse. It's like sometimes you see the lives of some of these people that are affected and that are doing it, and they look so normal. They look so normal. You know, maybe it was you, you know, in the middle of the night, that familiar figure coming to you and touching you in ways that were not right. Those are terrible, terrible wounds. They go on and on and on. They're very, very hard to get the victory over, to walk in victory after something like that. But again, I believe it can happen. I believe that Jesus is able to heal your wound no matter what it is. What about abandonment? You are left to your own. Parents, maybe your parents or your mom or your dad just left. And you experienced that abandonment. Then there are those wounds that are caused by just the general meanness of other people. You know, sometimes kids can be very, very mean. I grew up, I would say as I look back upon my own wounds, this is where they came from. As I was growing up, I don't know how it is, but it seems like I was always around the meanest kids. And I was a nice guy. But I think it was just, you know, low self-esteem or something that just drew me to the meanest and the most ornery people and having that pain inflicted upon me as a result of that. And I remember growing up and getting in the army and finding out that there were nice people. It surprised me that there were actually nice people around because I was so used to everybody being mean. It was a wound that was inflicted upon me. And maybe some of you have wounds as a result of broken relationships. A good friend betrayed you. Or whatever. Major disappointments. Or maybe a nasty divorce, your own or your parents having to experience that. It's a wound. Or maybe major moral failure. And either yourself or your partner or somebody you were close to caused a wound in your own life. And so what am I trying to do here? I'm trying to make you aware that we all have wounds. And some of us have ignored them. And as a result, they are still affecting our lives. Some of us are trying to deal with them. Some of us are just barely making it as a result of these wounds. What are the results? How do these wounds affect us? You may think everything's okay in your own life, but maybe it's not. Maybe you have been affected. See, I believe this. I believe these wounds and their results affect the person we are. They define our personality. They define the real person that's within us. How many know that we don't have to accept that person? I mean, we can change. We can be transformed into the image of Christ. And so here are some of the results of these wounds in our lives. As I said before, wounded people hurt others. Turn with me real quickly to Exodus chapter 20. Wounded people hurt others. Exodus 20 and verse 5. This is part of the Ten Commandments. It says, "You shall not bow down to them nor serve them." Speaking of idols. "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations to those who hate me." He says it's a chain reaction. But then it says in verse 6, here's the hope. It says, "But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." And so hurt people hurt others. You find many cases of people who grow up in a family in which there are alcohol problems, addictions, that they themselves become addicted to alcohol or drugs or whatever it may be. Many times, children who were molested grow up to commit those same sins all over again. And it's a chain reaction that just continues on and on. And that's why our society is where it's at today. It's coming to a head. You may be a person that's full of anger and bitterness and hate and violence. I know a person who just recently, well, I shouldn't say recently, it's been a few years, discovered, this was a man, discovered that he had been molested when he was younger. And for somehow, you know, he had blocked this out of his mind, but the memory of it came back. And he realized that he had become a very angry person, a very bitter person, a person who had outbursts of anger that he couldn't control. And it was a result of this unresolved issue that had happened in his life. And that may be, it may not be abuse, it may be any one of these things, where these are still unresolved in our lives, and as a result, we find ourselves acting in this way or that way, being angry, being bitter, being, just violent sometimes, and we don't understand why. Or maybe we feel an overwhelming sense of shame or guilt or unworthiness, self-condemnation, no confidence, low self-esteem, being lonely and withdrawn. I know that, as I shared with you, the wounds that I had inflicted upon me just as a result of being around mean individuals, it caused me to be lonely and very withdrawn. There was a time in my life before I really gave my life over to the Lord Jesus Christ that I had become a very isolated person. I didn't want anybody around me because I was just dealing with too much pain in my life. And it hurt. And I became very, very isolated. Or maybe you just don't know how to respond to others properly because these wounds are just too damaging. They may reveal themselves in eating disorders or the ability to simply show love to another person or the inability to trust another person. You find yourself just not being able to put trust in another individual, and you don't know why. It's unresolved wounds in your life. Or you find yourself, just totally in a place of misconceptions about who God is. Or maybe you find yourself like this rock star who is simply lethargic about life. As I was reading the articles, one of the things that he said about himself, he says, I no longer have any drive. He says, I don't care about my music anymore. It means nothing to me. He had lost his drive. He was just lethargic about life. A sense of hopelessness, a sense of despair. And deep depression. Or maybe they are exposing themselves in the area of major addictions to alcohol, drugs, or whatever, or suicidal tendencies. These are all areas. See, I have kind of a twofold purpose here this morning. I want to address these issues in our own lives, but I also want us as a church to become aware of the hurt that is in the lives of people everywhere. So we can learn to be more sensitive, more compassionate, more understanding to the hurting individuals out there and not relate in such a way of condemnation and guilt. Hey, they've had enough of that. Jesus says, mercy. What did it say concerning the Ten Commandments there about where he visits the generations of the fathers and so on? He says, I come to those in loving kindness and mercy. You see, we need to get a conception of God, that he is a loving God, that he is a merciful God, that he takes great delight in us, and that God is for us and not against us. No matter what you've done, no matter what kind of hurt, wound is going on in your life, God is your advocate. He is on your side. He's not your adversary. The devil is your adversary. You see, unfortunately, the person that we have become has been shaped by these results. Many of us have been shaped by these results. Our personality, the person that we are. And some of these wounds have major strongholds in our lives. You know what a stronghold is? It's something that is very strong It's set. It's there. It's powerful. It wages against you. And you don't know what to do about it. You don't know how to loose yourself from its grip. And these strongholds render us ineffective and unproductive. We want to do more, but we can't because these things are holding us back. And this is why many people are unhappy with the way their lives are turning out. They have failed to deal with these important issues. And as a result, they are impaired from having a life that is filled with God's riches and His abundance. Jesus says, I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. In John 10, in verse 10, He says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You see, all of this is a result of Satan's work, of the thief, his purpose, and the wounds that we looked at as well. And so as individuals, it's important for us to break free from this bondage. You see, what happens? This is what happens, see? Here I am in the present, and I've got all of these things in my past that I'm still dealing with because I don't want any more of that. I want to be released from that. And I don't see how that can happen. And so the question today, is there hope for you? I want to bring you back to that. Can your wounds be healed? The answer, again, is an unequivocal yes. The enemy has sown the corruption, but God wants to heal. What I'm going to do right now is just simply introduce you to some of the ways in which we receive our healing, and then next week we will focus on this in detail. The message, clearing the clutter of the past. You see, in order for me to be healed, I must come to the place first that I believe that Jesus wants me to be healed. See, I must change my conception about God. I must come into alignment with His Word. And I must realize that what Jesus said in Mark 2 and verse 17, He says, I didn't come for the well. He says, I came for the sick. He says, that's why I came. I came for the sick. In Hebrews 4 and verse 14, He says, He is a merciful and faithful, compassionate high priest who sympathizes with our weakness. And right now, He's making intercession for us. Right now, He's sympathizing with us. And so I have to believe that God is on my side, that God wants to help me, that He is there to minister His purpose, His healing, His compassion, His mercy into my life. I also must come out of denial and openly acknowledge and confess my wound. John 8 and verse 31 says, the truth shall set you free. The truth shall set you free. See, there's much more to that scripture than what we realize. See, I have to come to the truth of what has happened to me as an individual. I have to acknowledge and confess what has happened in my life. But somewhere along the line, I've got to get over it. I've got to go beyond the next step. And I'll be talking about that next week. I've got to face the ugliness of the wound. I remember one time when I was a kid, I got in this fight. And today I have a scar right there. It's a V-shaped scar. I had about 30 or 40 stitches in my arm. And for a few weeks, it was a nasty, nasty wound. Didn't even want to look at it. And I remember that as long as I didn't look at it, I was all right. I didn't feel that much pain, you know, after it got all sewn up. But if I would kind of take the bandage off and look at it, I would just see how nasty of a wound that would be. And it scared me. But I believe that we need to look at ourselves and see the nitty-gritty of what has happened to our lives. Because if we don't, we'll just continue to go on like it's not there, and we'll continue to be ineffective and unproductive as individuals. And then we must forgive and let go. Forgiveness is the most powerful healing element that there is. For being able to forgive and let go, and then being able to love your enemies. To be able to love your enemies, to love that person who inflicted the wound upon you. You've got to be able to do that. And then this is important. Finding a safe environment where you can take the mask off. Where you can begin to trust other individuals. Why do you think 12-step programs are so popular? It's a safe environment. It's a safe environment for many individuals. But I believe God wants us to go beyond those 12 steps. There has to be a place where we have been totally renewed in Christ and are no longer in bondage to the past. Because I am a new creature in Christ. The old is gone. I must destroy the old. And then I need to just simply take comfort and strength in God's word. And so as I conclude here this morning, I want to read this passage in Hebrews 12 where it says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." I want to leave you with this final illustration. Picture in your minds this beautiful red little sports car. And it's tearing off down the road. And it's on a windy road. How many like ever driven a little sports car on a windy road? How fun that is. And you're just speeding around all those corners. And when you get to the straightway, you're just, phew, you're going for it. Now picture in your mind this little sports car with a trailer behind it. Trying to pull a trailer. It comes to that corner and it doesn't know what to do. It doesn't know how to maneuver. It's got this big weight behind it, throwing it out of balance. You see, that sports car was not designed to pull a trailer. Just as we were not designed by God to carry all of these weights with us. Because what happens when we've got all of these things holding on to our lives in the area of strongholds, when we hit the normal curves of life, we have a blowout. Because we're carrying this stuff with us that we're not supposed to be carrying. If we can just free ourselves from the past, we will be able to function in the way that God has designed us to function, and we'll live successfully in this life. Carrying out His will. Think that we have to carry along, and look what we miss out on it as a result. You know, Jesus came to give us abundant life, but He can't give it to us unless we're really ready to discard of the old. Amen. You can be turning with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. In verse 18, and we'll have a word of prayer concerning the word of the Lord this morning. Father, we do thank you now for the awesome privilege, Lord, of coming into your house and worshiping you and realizing, Lord, that you have come to give us abundant life, a life that is to be free of worry and anxiety and all the different things that we seem to hold on to. God, I pray today as I minister your word just concerning clearing the clutter of the past, that you would open our hearts to hear your word, to listen to your Spirit, to realize, God, that you have come to wipe the slate clean. You have come that we might have all of our bondages broken, that we may be free to enjoy the wonderful life that you've given us in Jesus. We ask you to anoint this time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I started a series last week entitled Breaking Free from the Bondages of the Past. How many know that a lot of us, even though we've been born again, been water baptized, been spirit baptized, that we continue to hold on to some of the garbage that Jesus wants to discard? And that's what I'm talking about in this series of messages, how we as individual believers can just simply break free from all of these things that are holding us back from enjoying the wonderful life that Jesus Christ has promised each and every one of us. And so last week I began to talk about healing the wounds. And I purposely opened up some of the wounds in your own lives. How many know that in order to really be healed, those wounds have to be opened and cleaned first? And so we began to open the wounds, and some of you say, well, I didn't want my wound opened up. I was content with it the way it was. Well, you can go on and be content in that mode, but you'll never experience the joy, the peace, and the completeness that God intends for you unless you're willing to allow Him to pour His healing balm upon your wounds and allow those wounds to be healed so that you can be totally set free to live the life that Jesus has guaranteed you. I believe that we all have areas in our lives that we need to break free from. Whatever it may be, and I'll show you that list again today. But we all have areas that we continue to hang on to. Some of them are not so bad or so severe, but then there are some that are very, very severe. There are different degrees as to how these wounds affect each and every one of us. Last week, my primary emphasis was on imparting unto you the hope that is needed to break free. This is because you won't begin to break free unless, first of all, there's a hope that rises up within your heart because you know how much you have struggled. You know how many times you have fallen into defeat and a place of hopelessness and despair and just wanting to give up and live with it. I believe that there's something better than just living with it. And that God does not intend for us to live with these things. He wants us to go on and enjoy the present and enjoy the future. You see, most of us cannot really function in the fullness of how God intends for us in the here and the now because we have all of this weight that's holding us back and preventing us from even seeing how God wants us to live in the present and in the future. How can we face the future with hope and anticipation if all we see is what is holding us back in our past? Why do you think so many of today's youth are giving up, committing suicide, accepting a life of hopelessness and despair, a life of drugs, a life of alcohol, of addictions? There's nothing to hope for in this world. But in the kingdom, there is something that's worth hoping for. Amen? Jesus has promised us an abundant life. He's promised us joy and peace and hope. He's promised us that He will come and He will bind up the wounds in our lives, as He says here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive. See, Jesus came to heal. He came to preach deliverance. He came to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. How many know we live in a society in which oppression rules? The Bible says in the last days a darkness and a gloominess shall cover the land. It shall be in a state of hopelessness, a state of despair. And as we look around at our world today, we see that darkness beginning to cover the land. But he says, in the midst of that, the light shall arise upon you. The anointing shall come forth in your lives. The Bible also says the anointing comes to break the bondage. It takes the Holy Spirit working in our lives to break free all of the clutter of the past. So today I want to quickly review what we covered last week. I showed you some of the wounds and some of the causes of most wounds in our lives. We have some wounds that are inflicted by our parents. How many can agree with that? Some of you as parents are even inflicting wounds upon your children, not because you want to, but because you're still carrying wounds of your own. How many know that wounded people hurt others? There's some of you that have had physical abuse, mental abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse. These things cause tremendous wounds in our lives. Or maybe you experience some kind of abandonment. Or just having others treat you meanly, because people tend to be mean. Or broken relationships. How many have scars and hurts and wounds because of broken relationships? A friend, your wife, husband, parent, relative. Many, many broken relationships or major disappointments in life. Some catastrophe affected our lives and brought us into a place of great disappointment. Some of you have experienced divorces that were nasty, that just cut deep into your soul. And then maybe there's a wound because of major moral failure. And then one that I didn't have on here but goes along with that is, how many know that we receive some wounds because of our own sin and our own foolishness? You know, we inflict wounds upon ourselves because of our own sin. Now, here's the results of wounds. Wounded people hurt others. Wounded people are often full of anger, bitterness, hate, and violence. They repeat the things that happened to them. I mean, that's what the psychologists and therapists and all are finding out today, that the thing just goes on and repeats itself. You suffer shame and guilt and self-condemnation. There's no confidence. There's a low self-esteem. There's a sense of unworthiness. You become lonely and withdrawn. What happens when you've been wounded by someone, when in a friendship, in a relationship, and you've been hurt deeply? It tends to cause you to withdraw, not get close to people anymore. Because you're afraid that they're going to hurt you, and they probably will. Because people are imperfect, aren't they? We are all imperfect and capable of hurting others. But if we live in that kind of fear, and we live in that kind of bondage, we'll never come out of ourselves and develop the kind of relationships that can also bring forth healing in our lives. I believe in the same sense that relationships bring hurt, they also bring healing. Some people are unable to respond to others properly. Others end up with eating disorders. They're afraid to show love. There's an inability to trust others. There are misconceptions about God. There's a lethargicness about life, a sense of hopelessness. There's a deep sense of despair and depression, major addictions, alcohol, drugs, etc., suicide tendencies. All of these things are a result of wounds that have been inflicted upon us. And unfortunately, the person we are, the person I am today, has been shaped by these wounds and their results. You understand that? The person you are has been shaped. Your personality has been shaped by the scars and the wounds in your lives. I believe that God wants us to change. He wants us to break out of the mold. He wants us to break these strongholds. You see, all of these things are strongholds in our lives. They become strongholds. And this is why many people are unhappy with their lives and the way they're turning out, because they've got all of this clutter. Can you imagine that? You know, some of us, I believe most of us here can relate in one degree or another with some of these areas. There are some people that relate to a lot of these areas. But see, all of this is clutter. I don't need that in my life. You don't need it in your life. It keeps you from being effective. It keeps you from being the person that God has ordained you to be. And I've got to break free as an individual. There are areas here that I still deal with and must break free from. In order to be effective as a human being, to be successful and complete and whole as a human being. I believe that we need to deal with these things. We need to recognize all of this as clutter. We need to recognize these things as strongholds in our lives. And so today I want to focus more specifically on how we can get rid of this clutter. On how we can get rid of all the things that these wounds have caused in our lives. All of these things that I just mentioned here that you saw on the transparency hold us back. They hold us back from becoming the successful individuals who God has set free to live the abundant life that Jesus himself promised. Jesus says, John 10 and verse 10, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. The devil or the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. You see, all of this is the work of the enemy. That is the work of the enemy. That's what he's trying to do in your life, to hold you back from really pressing forward into the kingdom of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 with me. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside these weights. These are weights that are holding us back. He says we need to just simply lay them aside. They're preventing us from going forward and accomplishing what he wants to do in our lives. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now this morning, in the skit, we had a young lady who did not want to get rid of all this clutter. And as a result, she could not fly in the Abundant Life Airlines. She had to take a flight that was not a very good flight. How many have ever flown on a flight where there's no thrills? I've flown on a few of those. You get a sack of peanuts and that's about it. How many have flown first class in one of the great airlines? I mean, you are served. I mean, you get all the stuff that nobody else even thinks about getting. You know, it's worth it. But see, so many of us in this life as Christians are flying on the "you fly it" airlines. We're trying to make our own way. And Jesus wants to set us free from all of that emotional clutter in our lives so that we can fly with Him. Amen? So that we can run the race. And so we have to get rid of everything that slows us down. There are things in your life that are slowing you down. We have to get rid of the sin that doesn't want to let go. There's sin in our lives that tries to hang on and prevents us from really enjoying what God has given to us. All of these areas are strongholds that have invaded our lives, that have affected the person who we are. Webster's dictionary defines stronghold as a place dominated by a particular characteristic. Now, I want you to think about this. Look at this list once again and examine your life and see, are there some of these areas in your life that are dominating you? Not something that just happens once in a while, but it's a continued domination in your life. If that is so, it is a stronghold. And you need to deal with it as a stronghold. And so these areas hold us back. You need to ask yourself, are these things dominating me? If so, you need to understand that God has given you the power. He's given you the weapons to destroy these strongholds. How many believe that today? That God has given you the weapons. See, the Bible says, you know, God just doesn't plant us here and leave us kind of, well, okay, what do we do now? No, He dresses us for battle. He gives us the goods. He gives us the weapons that we need to deal with these strongholds in our lives. And He says these weapons are powerful. They're effective. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, if you'd like to turn there with me. This is important scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, we're not talking about a carnal weapon. You know, and too often we've been given all of this carnal, these carnal ways to deal with some of these strongholds, and they don't work. You know, if you turn on your television show and watch Oprah or Geraldo or any of the others, you know, they're always bringing up people that have all these deals and issues that they're dealing with in their life. And do they ever give them any hope whatsoever? There's not very much hope that's given in the world. See? But Jesus is different. See? Jesus came to give us hope. He says there is victory. There is a way out. And we need to recognize that we need to deal with it according to the plan that God gave, not according to the plan that the world's trying to feed into us. You see, there are biblical ways of dealing with these strongholds, and God has made them clear to us in the Word. Now, it takes faith to deal with these things, and faith without works is dead, and so therefore that means God and I are working together in this process of dealing with these strongholds. And so it says here, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. See, they're mighty for pulling down the strongholds. What God has given to us is mighty for casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. That's something I have to do. How many have figured out that God does not overpower your thoughts sometimes? That you have to take control of your thoughts. You have to take control of your emotions. Now, God gives us the ability, He gives us the understanding of how to do that. But as long as I've been a Christian, I have found out that in God's sovereignty, He allows me to make the choices. He will not impose His will over my will. Now, When I set my will in agreement with Him, when I come into agreement with God, when I say, yes, God, I understand your plan of action here. I understand what it's going to take. I understand that there's going to be some fervency involved. There's going to be some concentrated effort involved. Hey, let me tell you something. It takes concentrated effort to get over some of this stuff. It doesn't just happen. You know, I wish today that I had a magic wand and I could just kind of, you know, weave it over all of you and you'd be instantly healed and you'd never have to worry about these things again. It doesn't work that way, folks. Now, there are times where God's sovereignty will come into action and He'll just sovereignly heal somebody without any struggle whatsoever, but it's not the norm. And you can't depend upon that. You cannot depend upon it happening that way. And I think so many of us have gotten into this mindset, unless God does it all, then I'm just stuck with it. It doesn't work that way. The Bible says, I must put off the flesh. I must put off the old man. I must put on the new man. There's a laboring together with God. We work together with God. Now, the other extreme would be if I, on my own, decided I was going to do it all by myself. That doesn't work either. I've got to enter into that agreement with God. I've got to enter into that labor with Him, where we are working together in destroying these strongholds. It has to be a concentrated effort. It has to be something that I'm giving myself to for a season. I see this area in my life that has caused me great consternation. It's caused me a lot of struggle. It's caused me a lot of pain. There has to come a time in my life where I get serious with it. I says, okay, God, we're going to go to work. We're going to get down to business. We're going to deal with this stronghold. And you begin to treat it like that. You begin to treat it with a level of fervency that you have not operated in the past. And as you do that, there is a dynamic of God that begins to work in your life where you will begin to see that it is not your own work destroying.